You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Busy Saturday coming up as well with action at York, Musselburgh, Sandown, Chester, Bath and Hexham on Saturday afternoon. So six meetings to come there. We've also got Leicester and Lingfield in the evening. It should be a good Saturday. Tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark. Yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Looking forward to next week. Only a matter of days now until we're underway in this year's renewal of Royal Ascot. It's always a great 5 days there, isn't it?
It is, and it looks like it's going to be a real cracker jack of a week, isn't it, next week? And it looks as if also the weather is going to play ball down in Berkshire as well. So you usually get one day where it's sort of wet, but I think generally, in touching all wood, that we're in for a great forecast. That'll be quick ground, therefore, throughout the course of the week, but I'm sure that all of the officials over at Ascot will keep on top of that, and we should be set fair for what promises to be a brilliant week of racing on the flat, and clearly no excuses with conditions clearly going to suit pretty much everybody.
Yeah, it's always great, isn't it? Especially when the sun's out, you see people there in the top hat and tails, and you've got great racing, and the sun's shining, and you've got the Queen's Parade down the home straight there. It's great, isn't it? It's one of the weeks of the flat season that I really, really get stuck into.
It's probably the best week of the flat season, isn't it? The best meeting of the entire season, and one of the great sporting occasions worldwide, not just in the UK. And as you said, there'll be massive crowds every day, and when the sun is out, there is no better place to be, and the quality of the racing every day next week. I always think that the first day possibly is the strongest overall out of each of the five, but clearly extending it to a five-day meeting as well has been a huge success, and we've got some fabulous racing to look forward to next week.
Yeah, bit of news about Royal Ascot as well. Please Catch, who was the impressive winner of the Irish 1000 Guineas, she's going to go to the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot, and she's been bought by Godolphin, so she'll wear the blue silks for the first time.
Yeah, another pretty significant purchase from the boys in blue, isn't it? After, of course, Jack Hobbs, who ran such a great race in the Derby to finish second a few days ago. And this filly definitely looks to have the world as her oyster as well, doesn't she, after a really impressive win over at the Curragh not so long back. And I think she's definitely going to have a great chance. Of course, she'll be stepping up in trip in at the Ribblesdale, but we see so many fillies do it and come out successful. But again, that race promises to be a pretty decent one, and she'll probably just have to step up on what she's done again so far, of course, without being proven. But she looks to be a real classy sort, and if in the same sort of form that she was over in Ireland, could well be the one to beat.
Yeah, one horse that is proven at Royal Ascot, bidding to make history as well, is Soul Power. He's bidding for a hat-trick in the Kingstown Stakes. It'll be the first time that any horse has won it 3 years in a row. That would be something, wouldn't it? Because he's a real marvellous performer, isn't he, Soul Power?
He is, and he's unlike so many other flat horses in the sense that he does seem to come back year in, year out, and he keeps on delivering at such a high level. So I think everybody there is going to be supporting Soul Power. He's become a bit of a real character, a real face of Royal Ascot, hasn't he, over the last few seasons? And if he were to win again, it'd be a real famous and sensational victory.
Yeah, and the way he's ridden as well, he's a hold-up performer, isn't he? He needs the gaps. It's always a bit more exciting than just blazing off in front of
him. It is. I remember him when he won, was it the Nunthorpe at York back at last year in a last-gasp success, and I think he caught everybody by surprise. I think even Mike Catamol, who was commentating that day, you could just tell in his voice he couldn't believe that the gaps had come in time, and he managed to get there under a splendid ride. Might not have been called a splendid ride had he not got there. I think it was one of those, wasn't it? But it looks fantastic when it comes off, and like you say, the way that Soul Power tends to run his races, finishing needing that little bit of luck, it does make for all the excitement, and we're going to be looking forward to that. Is that Tuesday, the first day?
Yeah,
I think, yeah. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's always a great day as well, the Tuesday, a bit like the Cheltenham Festival. The first day is one of the best days. While we're on the subject of jumps there, Ruby Walsh says don't write off Hurricane Flyer. It was disappointing in the French Champion Hurdle last time. Do you think he's catching up with him now, his age?
How old is he now? Is he getting?
He'd be 12 on him this
time.
Yeah,
he had another good season. The thing with Hurricane Fly, he's been invincible in Ireland, in his native Ireland, and obviously this season just gone, they've stepped him up to 3 miles, and it did seem to work pretty well. Of course, he ran a really good race behind Jez, who I think deserved to get one over on him towards the back end of the season. They'd met so many times before with the Fly coming out on top, and he is still a very, very high-class horse. Obviously, he's not the horse he was, I think it's fair to say, and we tend to see as the seasons go on that horses that have been top class at 2 miles, after a while, they tend to step up in trip. We've seen Rock on Ruby do that, for example. Of course, another former champion hurdler. But Hurricane Flight, it'll be interesting to see whether he does come back, and I'm sure that there are races such as, I don't know, the Hatton's Grace, the Morgiana Hurdle. I think one of those is 2.5. I think the Hatton's Grace might be 2.5. So that just might be tempting the Mullins team and everybody else involved with Hurricane Fly. But personally, I don't like to see them go on too long, particularly when they've given so much. I mean, we saw it with Best Mate all those years ago, and horses like that, you know, it can go horribly wrong. And personally, I think the horse deserves a long and happy retirement, and hopefully he'll get it. But I'm not Willie Mullins, and Willie Mullins has got an awful lot more expertise over it than I have, and he knows the horses inside out. We know what a master craftsman he is, and if he thinks that the Fly is ready to come back and rock and roll next season, then so be it. And he probably will come back and prove ultra successful once again. But for me, he's done enough for Connections. He's been an amazing servant over the years.
Yeah, if it's all right by Willie Mullins, it's all right by me, I suppose.
Yeah. who are we to argue?
Yeah, exactly. Anything else caught your eye before we move on to Saturday's action?
No, not really. It's been a funny few weeks. I've been doing a lot of jump racing lately, more than on my travels, more than anything. So haven't really been keeping too much of an eye in on the flat. Been looking forward, though, to this meeting at Royal Ascot next week, and no doubt have a few quite sizable wagers. It's the one week in flat racing where I actually really do tend to get involved, but we'll see how the races pan out. And the handicaps, of course, when the draws come out and everything, we know about that, you can often get plenty of value. But yeah, really looking forward to Royal Ascot, really, and what follows it.
Yeah, we've got that to look forward to next week. We've also got a busy Saturday coming up, and we're going to get Gareth's thoughts there in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Some good racing to come on Saturday. We're going to look at the action at Sandown, York and Musselburgh. And we'll start in the 220 at Sandown, which is a Class 2 handicap over a mile. It's for the three-year-olds and older. Nice big field of 16 here as well, Gareth. So who do you side with in there?
Indeed, a nice big field of 16. And so it should be for the prize money on offer, £40,000. And the one I quite like here is number 6 on the card, Jacob Black, who won in really determined fashion over course and distance just 16 days ago. He really had to stick his neck out on at that occasion. Frankie Dettori taking the ride for Keith Dalgleish's stable. And this horse just looks one of those horses in the race open to still plenty of improvement. He's lightly raced, only having had a handful of runs so far. He's managed to win a couple, but there was an awful lot to like about that really gutsy display last time, so I'll take him to follow up now up in class. I think of the dangers, Pallister was a horse I liked as a two-year-old. I managed to see him run in the flesh once or twice. He was with Mark Johnston, he's now with Charlie Appleby. William Buick will be taking the ride. I think he needs to build on that comeback run some 50 days ago, but I wouldn't entirely rule it out. The draw could have been a little kinder. Night Owl is the other one who caught my eye. Was fourth in a really good race at Newmarket last time. That was some 42 days ago. James Fanshawe knows the time of day, and if Night Owl built on that effort at Newmarket, I think is another big, big player. But Jacob Black, for me, there was an awful lot to like about the way he just knuckled down last time, and for that reason, I'll take him to follow up.
Jacob Black for Gareth then in the 220. We move to York for their 310 next. This is the Ganton Stakes, which is a listed race over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got 10 of them in the lineup here, and I was drawn to Yufton here, Gareth, because he's been playing his trade in much better company than this. The blinker's gone for the first time. What do you make of his chances here?
Yeah, he's one of the horses in the race. It's a listed race, but I don't think it's the strongest listed race I've ever seen, and he could just be the one horse in the lineup which is open to, again, any amount of improvement. Yufton, who needs to better that performance from last time out, but William Haggas has now opted for blinkers, and we know what headgear first time can do to a horse, and William Haggas is a man who certainly knows the time of day, and Pat Cosgrave will be taking the ride, so I think Yufton is definitely an interesting player. Of the horses that we know perhaps a little bit more about, I'm a big Gabriel fan. He does hold a bit of a special place in my heart, does Gabriel. He was a winner of the Lincoln back at the beginning of the season. He's a horse I've followed over the years now, a six-year-old, but he continues to hold his form and very strong form all the way throughout the course of each season. He's been tried at a whole various amount of distances as well. He's even been raced up to, I think, about 1.5 miles, this horse, in the past. But I think 1 mile on pretty quick ground, his optimum sort of conditions. He's not won here at York in the past. But Richard Farr, he's got a real honest campaigner here, and I think he's going to get a pretty strong gallop to aim at, even though we've only got the 10 runners. So I'll take Gabriel, I think, for win purposes. Yufton, definitely a danger, as I think he's want to be yours, providing that she can bounce back after a rather tame finish to the season back last year. Got a return from 260 days off the track, but for John Gosden, certainly wouldn't rule out a big, big show on comeback.
On to the big race at Musselburgh next. This is the 3.25. It's the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup, a heritage handicap of 5 furlongs. We do have betting on site as well. And Red Baron heads that market at 5-1. 6-1 for Online Alexander. Barnet Fair is 7-1. 8s for Boom the Groom and Demora. 10-1 for Fast Track. Hawkeye the New is 14-1. And 16s or bigger for the others. Real wide open races, Gareth. Should be a cracker.
Yeah, Musselburgh's big race of the year. Red Baron, very consistent, hardly ever finishes out of the frame. He's won here over course and distance in the past. He actually renews rivalry with Online Alexander, Kevin Ryan runner, from when they met some 28 days ago. Red Baron came out on top that day. Online Alexander, I thought, was a really useful three-year-old and possibly has a little bit to find with Red Baron, and is going to be drawn out on the wing a bit in stall 15, but I think those two have got excellent chances. But there are plenty in this race which have met before, and Demora along with Masama, they both met in the contest last year. They finished at first and second. I've always been a bit of a Masama fan. He's been on the go for a very long time now. He's a 9-year-old. Trotter Nichols will be taking the ride for the Marco Botti Yard, but this really is Masama's bag. Big field, big sprint handicap. He tends to always hit the frame at a pretty decent price, and I'll take him to do so again. I do respect Demora's chances. Mick Appleby is certainly a shrewd trainer, and I think Tom Marquand has just ridden out his £7 claim as well, so it'll be interesting to see how he gets on board, and it could potentially be another big race victory for him as well if Demora were to follow up. But I think it's very hard in these big handicap sprint races to follow up year on year, but Demora definitely was produced brilliantly to win this 12 months ago, and has an excellent chance of having the same sort of circumstances again here today. So, yeah, I think Demora, Masama, Red Baron, Online Alexander, all there with chances in a wide open race. It's hard to really pin just one down.
I'm going to ask you to pin one down.
Pin one down.
Yeah, have a go.
I'll go each way, Masama.
Each way, Masama, then for Gareth in the 3.25. And on to the 3.45 at York next. This is a charity sprint, a big handicap, a Class 2 event over 6 furlongs. It's for the three-year-olds. We've got a field of 20 here, Gareth. The market headed by Scalzo, who's 7-2. 9-2 for Twilight Sun. Magical Memory is 10-1. Northgate Lad and Roosie are also 10s. 12s for McMahal. Explosive Lady is 14-1 with Field Game and Indescribable. And it's 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. So the two unexposed runners with only 3 runs in the book could be open to any amount of improvement in Scalzo and Twilight Sun dominating the betting there, Gareth.
Yeah, they are dominating the betting, and I think for good reason as well. Scalzo's been hugely impressive in what he's done so far. Managed to win at last time out at Haydock, a race whereby he missed the break, and he still managed to scoot away and win by 7 lengths. Ultimately, this is a lot stronger, but he's clearly a horse held in very high regard. Martin Mead is a shrewd operator as well, and Paul Hannigan will be on board, so I definitely respect the chances of Scalzo in this stronger company. Twilight Sun is the other interesting contender, if you like, the three-year-old who's unbeaten in three starts so far. I think what he's shown, he hasn't been quite as extravagant as Scalzo so far, and I'd still favour Scalzo over Twilight Sun, even though the latter is unbeaten. There was a lot to like about his win at Newmarket last time out as well, Twilight Sun, for trainer Henry Candy. So those two definitely deserve, I think, to be up at the head of the betting market. Plenty of other more experienced runners as well. It wouldn't be a surprise if something along the lines of Indescribable or even Mignolino or Roosie were able to sneak into the frame at bigger prices. But I think the betting has got this pretty much right. And for me, I was mightily impressed with that effort at Haydock last time out from Scalzo. So he gets my vote in a hotter heat.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Gareth. Let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
OK, in the 2.20 at Sandown, I'm going to side with Jacob Black. In the 3:10 race over at York, I'm going to side with an old favourite in Gabriel. The 3:25, the big race up at Musselburgh, I'm going to go each way at Massama. And in the 3:45 back at York, Scalza.
Fantastic. Thanks, Gareth. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday. So there you go, the thoughts of Gareth Topham on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We've got 6 meetings in the afternoon. York, Musselburgh, Sandown, Chester, Bath and Hexham. 2 more in the evening as well with Leicester and Lingfield. So a busy Saturday coming up. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.